Hello and welcome, Irene Bischofberger.
Good morning. Nice to meet you.
Welcome back to our listeners. We had a little bit of a break, but just as a reminder, Let's Talk Value. I'm in loose sequence speaking to experts and experienced professionals in healthcare from the 5P ecosystem around what is it we need to do better towards more resilient healthcare systems, towards better affordability while keeping the great innovation we have had in medicine. And we see it lately with a vaccine development in less than 12 months, unprecedented success from a science and medicine perspective. But we know we have a lot of broken things as well in our systems that we all want to try to fix. So my pleasure to welcome Irene today, who is by background a trained, educated, and practicing clinical nurse, but has taken really an academic road and still being a practitioner, and today is an executive board member of the Careum School of Health. And really what the way we came across is exactly what you stand for, the interprofessional, the intersection of working together across sectors in healthcare. And she's highly published. You can read her contributions in many places. So it is my distinguished pleasure to welcome Professor Bischofberger today. And without further ado, I'll dive into my first question. Irene, with your wealth of experience, spontaneously, what does value mean for you in healthcare?
Well, of course, having grown up in Switzerland as a clinician and as an academic, there is always this debate about quality versus quantity. And Switzerland is known for quantity, having many hospitals, many tiny hospitals, and quality has really been a bit behind, although it is in our Healthcare Act, which is in force since 1996. But actually, and that's why your question is highly relevant, because there is momentum for quality. Finally, the quality part in our Healthcare Act has really flourished in a sense that from this year on, there is a federal health commission, which actually was, the members were elected last week. So it is very, very timely to talk about quality. And I really hope, and I think there will be a better sense of what quality means in healthcare, because the Federal Council actually lists quality goals for the Swiss healthcare system, and the Federal Commission will break it down to contracts that have to be followed by the payers and by the providers. So I think it has really never had such an immense meaning for healthcare, the quality part.
Yes, great.
So the past 25 years.
Yeah, no better time to talk about value in healthcare and in Switzerland, as you say, as fresh as last week. Can you help us kind of transcribe that a little bit into the patient perspective and how, so from a system perspective, I agree there's this great momentum around quality and focus on outcomes and results, more so than quantity of procedures and products and hospitals, et cetera. How would you transcribe that then? What does that mean in real life for our nurse and doctor fellows and others in the ecosystem, quality in terms of outcomes, et cetera? How would you transcribe that from a patient perspective?
Well, right now it is more by chance that you actually get the quality and patient-centered care. It's not surprising in a federal system that we have that you have a better or a not so well chance to get the patient-centered care, because in the 26 cantons, which are responsible for the delivery of care, there is a slightly different mindset. And when it really comes down to the provider, the policy issues, of course, also are felt and are visible in the patient, physician, nurse interaction. So some nurses, some physicians will be required to have a better understanding when they are required to measure patient-reported outcomes and experiences. So far, some hospitals or some other providers, they do it already. So there, by chance, the patients have a better option to actually express what their outcomes and experiences are. And in other places, PREMs and PROMs are not even known. Yeah. So it is really by chance, and this will be much more homogeneous in the future.
Yeah, great. So it's really around the quality of patient outcomes. So let's pivot to, I know, a topic that's very close to your heart. When we talk patient centricity and maintaining and managing health and empowering patients, some say health happens at home. And for many patients, looking at the mega trends of aging and chronic diseases, and today in a pandemic, we are all home, but I think that's the key word, home. So health happens at home. So I know you have a lot to share around home care and caregivers around the patient, particularly for elderly and chronic diseases. So what are your views around how we can enhance value for home care and patients with their caregivers?
Right. So actually, there is another momentum to talk about family caregivers and home care. And family caregivers have been quite a bit in the spotlight of the Swiss Federation. Interestingly, not initiated by the healthcare system, but by labor force policy, because the family caregivers kind of were discovered, so to say, by a shortage of skilled workers. So that's why the Federation said, oh, there are people not in the workforce, but they are taking care of their loved ones. We have to do something. So out of this perception, there was a funded program for family caregivers between 2017 and 2020. And we now have a figure of how many family caregivers there actually are in Switzerland, and it is around 600,000 in a population of 8.5 million inhabitants in Switzerland.
That's amazing.
So it's quite a number.
Substantial.
And breaking down. Right. It is broken down to percentage. It's 7.6% of the population are in this role. And it was quite interesting that the Federation also said family caregivers are not only those living in the same household and are not only relatives in a traditional sense, but family caregivers are also people that are emotionally connected and that support each other beyond a relative relationship. So I think that was quite a contemporary perception of who family is, and also about care. In the survey that in the end we saw that there were 600,000 people, care provided by family caregivers is not only hands-on care. So it is also the entire part that's called managerial care. So helping with bills, helping with taxation, mm-hmm. etc. Mm-hmm. So that's why, of course, it is a large number, 600,000, because it's not limited to a very traditional sense of family caregiver.
Yeah, that are amazing numbers. In is there any support system for them, or what are plans to support these home caregivers?
So in this funded program from 2017 to 2020, there mm-hmm. were 16 reports on particularly one question was what day and night structures, for instance, family caregivers need for their significant others. Or other questions, other reports were on how do family caregivers interact with the healthcare workforce, mm-hmm. which is not always an easy thing
right.
to do.
Yes.
So we really have quite a detailed picture now with these 16 reports on quality and quantity issues that family caregivers face. What we do see, come back to your question, there is not always a good match about what is provided and what is actually looked for by the family caregivers. So this linchpin between what's offered and what patients and family caregivers need certainly has to be improved, because it's a shame when there are
right.
support structures here, but they don't really match the needs.
Right.
That will be an important part to work on in the future.
Yeah. So I think it's a good segue also to the what I always call the fourth revolution or industrial revolution that is obviously everybody knows, but that is so late to healthcare and particularly digital. And now similarly on a positive note, such a great momentum of digital coming to healthcare. And I think what you're mentioning right now, so how can we help? What can be done to strengthen the interconnectivity or the connectedness at the intersections here in this example between patient caregivers and professional healthcare workforce? So my question to you is, I'm curious to hear your views on how the digital connectivity can help. And then maybe even technically in terms of, because it's also about sharing data, right? You're talking mm-hmm. about the managerial piece, and how does the caregiver know what the latest prescriptions from the doctor was, or what the latest report from a radiology department was, and how do we share data points? And of course, in Switzerland, we have the EPD or the electronic patient chart also coming. So any thoughts from your end on how the great digital momentum can help mm-hmm. endorse what you're doing in terms of home care and caregivers?
So I think particularly in home care, actually, quite some home care agencies already are quite digitalized when it comes to gadgets that they can communicate with patients. When it comes to data sharing, it's less well developed. And you mentioned the electronic patient chart. I mean, it was supposed to be implemented on April 1st, 2020. After it had been postponed several times, so it still is not implemented.
Late, yeah.
Because mm-hmm. there is such a big turmoil, of course, with the yeah. pandemic. So, but everybody was thinking, oh God, if we had it, we would be much better mm-hmm. off. Mm-hmm. So it is really still a search for how to share data with the provider and the patient and the family caregiver. So now it's done with all sorts of platforms, including Google, because there is no better alternative. There is, however, one provider in Switzerland that came out of the Swiss Medical Federation, which actually has improved a lot last year under the pressure of the pandemic. They had always had a very safe email system. And they developed a video conference tool last year. So under data protected information sharing, there is a system that is really, it's called HIN.ch, which a lot of providers now are becoming a member of this of this institution. And so it really has helped, so to say, the pandemic, although it's sad to say. When it comes to family caregivers living in the home, I think the biggest issue is that the care provided on a distance is not paid. It's not covered by the health insurance. There was a short time last year until February 28th of this year that, for instance, psychiatrists or psychologists were allowed to provide care on a distance and it was paid. But I mean, the large majority of patients living at home who were not well off, the distance care was not paid to them. So mm-hmm. I think when really home care needs to be modernized, there needs to be paid system in place yeah. on how to interact with
you families. Mentioned you saw some more advanced progress in terms of gadget and smart devices. Do you have a couple of examples on top of your head that you could share? What type of gadget or device or app that you already see working in the home care environment?
Well, it does maybe not sound very fancy, but there was one system that had to be put in place because a home care service did not want their staff to communicate on WhatsApp about patients because there was no better option. They used WhatsApp and shared patient information, which of course is a no-go. So they implemented a protected system that could be used for communication among nurses mainly. So it does not look fancy, But it is on the way to be improved. But of course, this also requires that the healthcare or the home care workforce all have a modern type of smartphone.
Yeah, and I think that's what you mentioned it with the smart devices, smartphone. Many people I see more and more are wearing smart watches, so that you can mm-hmm. even see it on your watch. In addition, the watch or other sensors then could also on the patient side track even, you know, vital signs and blood pressure and blood glucose, and then the nurse at a mm-hmm. distance can look at this, or the nurse can interact with the caregiver that, you know, have a quick chat on what do we do with that glucose level or with that blood pressure, or with, I don't know, in case of Parkinson's, with gait and walking and number of steps or risk of falling that we know is a big issue mm-hmm. In home care as well. And I think this is where I do agree. I mean, there's a number of grassroots apps almost that are being developed out mm-hmm. of necessity and that actually work. So I think right now it's a little bit almost a embarrassment of the riches in the sense of there's so many grassroots digital solutions being developed that we almost risk to enter another moment of fragmentation. But I think that we are far off that. I think it's very a lot on the positive side and the great momentum in terms of using all this toolbox of digital apps and sensors and smart devices to help with that connectivity and also connect, so in this sense, caregiver, patient, but also the healthcare professionals into the mm-hmm. system and pharmacists, et cetera. So
again, it's very much a question of chance. Are you in is your home care provider actually using all these systems in a way that are well protected? So in some home care services, it's really well established. And in others, they're just beginning. But I guess the smartphone level, that's something that is really pretty homogeneous across Switzerland, because nurses always had to be on a phone with patients. Mm-hmm. And now with the smartphone options that are in the gadget, they are more or less extensively used. When it comes to sensors, there it is. In Europe, we have this ambient assisted living grants that are pretty pretty extensive. But the problem is that the gadgets the tools are often only available during the project phase. And then when it should go to market, mm-hmm. then there is no market, because then the entire regulations are kind of hindering the mm-hmm. implementation. Mm-hmm. So there's always this broken system between projects and implementation. And these projects sometimes last several years. So patients, you know, get used to it, and then the project ends, and there is often big disappointment also among family caregivers.
What a great call for action to tighten the interconnectivity with patient providers and policy and payers. You said before, we need to work on ways to integrate really the family caregiving environment. And thank you for sharing your fantastic research data in the beginning of our conversation. I think a lot of great content and data points you shared with us today that hopefully other people can, you know, listen and take away and food for thought for others to contribute to what I took away from our conversation, really, and say there's a lot of things going on right now. If you're a patient, it's a little bit by chance. If you, you know, access the right quality outcomes focused network and digital supported network. So what the plan is to make this consistent across the country and the population. So I think we're already getting towards the end of our conversation today. Did you have any other last comments you wanted to share with the audience?
Well, I think in a country, in a rich country like Switzerland, that spends a lot of money, I think there is really the notion of justice. Who gets what from this large amount of money that's spent? And I think when it comes to home care, home care is about 3.4% costs of the entire part of the 84 or so billion Swiss franc a year. So I think when we really want to strengthen home care, we also need to talk about a share of the entire costs. And of course, some will have, some will have to share more resources with home care. And home care also has to be prepared to grow in a relatively fast way, so mm-hmm. that if there is more money, it also needs to be used right. in a smart way.
That's right.
So justice needs to be there, but the providers also need to deal smartly with the resources they have in the end of the day.
Yeah, that's great. And I think that is a topic for our next conversation, maybe in the next podcast. It's like you mentioned, like, let's say the 80 billion in the case of Switzerland healthcare budget or expenditure, let's say. And we all know that we have 20 to 50% of wastage in the system. So mm-hmm. that would mean up to 40 billion if we are provocative here. And so the bottom line is we don't have an issue of not enough money. It is just right. where is the money invested and can we reallocate? And that will only work if policy works with payers and providers and, you know, patients also support the journey and caregivers. So I think that is a great way to close for today. Thank you so much, Iren Bischofberger.
Thank you very much for having me.